Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment, this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our special guest for this segment and the next will be Pastor Paul Begley. You know him, everyone, unless you're living under a rock. And then I suspect you wouldn't know Pastor Paul Begley. Pastor Paul Begley, The Coming Apocalypse. Before we get to him and Joe brings him on, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned earlier, parts of this broadcast brought to you by Nuts.com. So it all began one day, real briefly, it all began one day when I ordered from Nuts.com and I said, man, this is a good product. One thing led to another. There was a conversation. Anyway, they said, hey, you know, maybe we can work something out and, you know, we could, anyway, I had the opportunity to speak with the head nut at nuts.com. That's how it all started. And, got on the phone with the head nut at nuts.com, the CEO. Great guy. First question he asked was, how in the world did you get my phone number? And then the second question, he said, who are you again? No, seriously. I bring that conversation up because I was so impressed by the fact that, number one, he would speak with me, but number two, that he was deeply involved in product quality control. And now this is a hands-on man. So when you order from nuts.com, you are guaranteed to get the best product at the best price, the freshest product, and you know it's a quality item. All right. We get hungry during the day here at the studio. We don't have time, rarely, you know, have time for lunch. So having nuts around, that's a great way to curb your appetite. And if you've ever gone to the store recently, looked at the quality of their nuts, their snacks, there's little selection. They're sitting around for months in cans and jars on the shelves. And you're not going to find a very good product there, whether it's sprouted almonds or black walnuts. You're not going to find it there. So we found this incredible website that we are really hot and just excited about, and that's nuts.com. They have, in our opinion, the best tasting nuts on the planet. Nuts.com is the simple and most convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy snacks, nuts, and so on, and many other tasty treats from around the world delivered right to your door. And when you go to nuts.com, the items there are just absolutely, you could spend all day there looking at the different selections. It's just so much fun, and it's so easy to order. But here's the best part, folks. Right now, new customers can get 4 free samples. You can choose from over 50 options. It's a $15 value. All you have to do is go to nuts.com, click on the blue microphone box there, and enter our code HH. That's for Hagman and Hagman. Simple as that. New customers right now. 4 free samples. Choose from over 50 options. It's a $15 value. When you go to nuts.com, enter HH. And let me just add a couple more things. If you have diet restrictions, there are options there for all diets. I got a question in my email today asking, you know, why don't you mention this? Because it's important for people like me, this emailer said. They've got sugar-free options. They've got certified organic, certified gluten-free. So, and even if you like coffee, and I know Pastor Paul Begley loves coffee, they've got over 39 different kinds of coffee and over 170 different flavors. They've got gift tins and custom trays, baskets of buckets of nuts. I mean, it's just incredible. The site is easy to use, 100% satisfaction guarantee, folks. Nuts.com, microphone code HH. Nuts.com, microphone code HH.
All right.
Yeah.
With that, let's bring on our guest, Pastor Paul Begley. Folks, if you don't know Pastor Paul Begley, where have you been living? No, he's been a guest of ours and really, we've been guests on his show, and he's been guests on our show going back since we
he's
began.
Like our show mentor, you know, really. Yeah. We aspire to be like Pastor Paul Begley, all right? We do. And he's been on, yeah, you're right. He's been on the air. He's like on 50,000 different stations and, you know, 25 languages. I'm pretty sure he is heard on Jupiter. I mean, he's got a huge show, huge audience,
His website is paulbegleyprophecy.com. His show is here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, The Coming Apocalypse.
Yep.
And you can find Paul Begley 34 on YouTube. And on his site, paulbegleyprophecy.com, he streams the show also on video every day, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Or Eastern Daylight Savings Time, or yeah. Eastern Time. Yep.
And he's been expanding. Pastor, are you still doing your Friday night TV show?
Yes, yes. Matter of fact, it's on DirecTV, channel 367, every Friday night. We're actually going to be expanding TV, but we'll announce that soon.
That's great.
Well, that's
man.
Awesome.
Well, welcome, Pastor Paul Begley, to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. It's been too long. Glad to have you here. And I know that you're just off of your wife's show right before ours, so I know that this is kind of a sacrifice for you to be on tonight. But thank you for joining us. Current events. My goodness, have we got a lot to talk about? Where do we start? In your view, what's the most important issue, or at least at the moment, what's the most timely issue that we should address?
I guess if you take a step back and look at everything, if you looked at everything globally, anytime people are being killed and murdered and wars are raging and suicide bombings, and so I would say the Middle East madness would probably be number one, because everything's affected by it, including the economy, the price of oil, the sovereignty of nations. And this isn't just any kind of war, not just two nations upset at each other fighting over boundaries, but we're dealing with, right now I counted, there's 17 different armies that are in Syria. 17 different armies, and Saudi Arabia and Turkey and six other nations have formed what they call a Sunni coalition, and they're about ready to launch an invasion into Syria, and we still can't find out who they're going to go fight. We don't know who they're going to fight. Turkey says they're going to fight ISIS, but they're buying the oil from ISIS, and they're bombing the Kurds. So that would be the first one. The second thing is, I think you got to look at the economy, the global economy, because of what's been going on in the Asian markets and the worst start ever since 1932 in Wall Street. So I would think Middle East madness is number one, global economy is number two, and the American election and everything that goes into that, which including Judge Scalia's death and Donald Trump and the Pope having words at one another. All of these things, I think all of this, these three things are I'll put as the top three on my bucket list. Not bucket list. My three things on my hot list right now.
All right. Well, Pastor, let's start with the Pope and what the Pope interjecting himself into the presidential race in the Republican side of the aisle, saying about Donald Trump that he's not a Christian if he wants to build walls instead of building bridges, then he's not a Christian. And then Donald Trump's response, saying, how dare you say, question, my faith, especially you being a religious leader. This is turning into a big fiasco. I've never seen a pope, and my father was mentioning that he doesn't ever remember a time where a pope, mentioned a presidential candidate or brought up issues that a candidate was talking about ever in history. But not only that, the Pope, as Drudge Report is reporting, lives in, around a town of walls, huge walls, and has the strictest immigration and citizenship policy in the world. Why do you think the Pope would be interjecting himself against Trump on this issue?
This is a great question, Joe, and you've shaped it up very well. I mean, here's the thing. The Pope, as you said, the Pope lives in the Vatican. They do have the strictest immigration laws in the world, and he has very tall walls. And then he says you can't be a Christian. I think he even says it's not the gospel about building a wall. Well, I hate to say this, but he needs to go back and read the Bible, and here's why. The first thing, God told Nehemiah to build a wall to protect the holy city of Jerusalem. and there was breaches in the wall. As a matter of fact, it had been broken down, and the enemy had been running in and out and raping women and stealing and robbing, and this had gone on for over 20 years, and they couldn't, and they were infighting so much, sounds like Congress, but they had been infighting so much they couldn't build the wall. And finally, God raised up a prophet by the name of Nehemiah and says, build the wall. And he got the people, he fired the people up. They all got a mind to work. They laid down their differences, and they he said, put a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other and rebuild the wall. And what they couldn't do in 20 years, they did in 52 days. They built the wall. Now, the Bible also says to guys like you and me, he says, I make you guys watchmen on the wall. If you don't have a wall, you don't need a watchman, okay? I mean, you got to hear everybody running around saying, I'm a watchman on the wall. Well, you got to first have a wall. And why is the wall it's a boundary, it's a border, it's a defense mechanism. It's biblical to protect Jesus said, if you knew what hour that the thief was coming in, you would not suffer your home to be broken into and steal. It's a principle to protect. A mother has a baby in its womb. Her womb is its wall of protection. I mean, I'm stunned at the statement. And the reason, it wouldn't matter if he said it to Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio is a Catholic. Marco Rubio has already said that the Pope is off track on this one. Matter of fact, Mike Huckabee, just a few minutes ago, kind of went off on the Pope over this. And even Jeb Bush said, I think the Pope made a mistake. And I think at the end of the day, every Republican candidate's going to say, well, what are you talking about? Here's why I think he did it, to answer your question. There's a global agenda of global citizenship, a new world order that says we can have no longer any nationalism, no more borders and boundaries, but we need to all become as one, a global initiative. And the president the Pope has just been here to America, met with the president, spoke to the Congress, spoke to the United Nations. Now he went to Cuba then. He's back Cuba again. He went to Mexico. He went right up to the border. And I think that he is trying to help push this agenda of globalization. And no better way to get the New World Order established than to bring down the barriers of America. I mean, America's the strongest nation in the world. You'll have to tear down its walls if you're ever going to get to it. And so it's not just a physical wall either in Mexico. I mean, you got to look at the immigration policy. Look what's happening to Europe. They're screaming now. Matter of fact, the European Union just told Alexis Tsipras of Greece, you got 90 days to fix your immigration policy, who you let in there, or we're going to shut your walls down. We're going to shut your border. We're not going to let anybody else come from Greece into the EU. I mean, this is unbelievable. So I don't know what the Pope was thinking here. I mean, but he's never, you're right, never has a Pope jumped into a political arena. But if you go after Trump, I think you got to go after every candidate, all six of them. They're all saying the same thing. I don't understand this one.
Interesting. Yeah. And again, just having the Pope inject himself into current United States politics and even, in totality, at all of the statements that he's made about various issues. This truly, like Obama, the Pope appears to be a citizen of the world, as Obama is.
Exactly.
To some extent. Yeah. And it's
all for the. Right.
Yeah, globalization, right? I mean,
you're right, Doug. I mean, this is what they're preaching. Obama and Pope Francis are preaching globalization. So is Angela Merkel and she's leading the way to do that in Europe. David Cameron of the UK, this new Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, you're going to see they're going to be a heavy push within the Western nations to embrace this globalization. And that will, that's what's going to usher in quickly. I mean, you have to do it. If you're going to do a new world order, if you're going to have a one world government, you're going to have to do that. And I think you're exactly right. The Pope is definitely pushing globalization.
Indeed.
And reading a lot of the globalist-owned publications, books, memoirs, and whatnot, plans, the trade agreements, the worldwide trade agreements and trade pacts, is one of the last things necessary to implement this new world globalist order. And we see the TPP recently, getting through and becoming law, if you will, along with other trade agreements from past, like NAFTA and GATT. And we saw how that had gutted our manufacturing sector here in the United States. Now the TPP is going to further and continue where NAFTA left off, and it will force a globalization in a way, especially when it comes to consumerism.
You're exactly right, Joe. What's happening here is the TPP just opens up trade and takes down all the barriers and the protection of your own national market. In other words, the businesses that operate here in America lose all leverage with the TPP. And that's partly why I think there's this resistance with Trump. I mean, all right, not only the wall and make Mexico pay for it, but he's saying revisit the immigration policies on how, vet these people much stronger. But the other thing is China. How many times have you heard him say China, our jobs? We got it. The TPP is awful. It's a horrible agreement. We have to change it. It's a terrible deal. And he's right. Because what it does, it takes all the leverage from the greatest nation of the world, and it strips us down to where we're as weak as the weakest nation. And all that's going to do is like pouring, something into water and saying, well, it's still water. Like pouring mud into water, saying, don't worry, just shake it around, it's still water. No, it's being polluted here. You've taken down all the opportunities. So you're exactly right. This globalization is not just global citizenship among people to migration, but it has to be in a world economy. You can't have global trade without actually finally stabilizing some type of world currency that everybody's on the same money, type of money. And so that's got to break down the trade agreements and then change the currencies. I think that's what you're viewing right now.
Isn't it interesting? I think in just the conversation, just this conversation, we've talked about the Pope in the context of a new world order with references to Obama, but the specifically with respect to the globalism. And in so doing, we touched on the economic, we've touched on the geopolitical and political, and we've referenced the religious aspect of this. What I see taking place is, as you pointed out, is this Pope ushering in or being the grandfathering in or fathering in or being the head of the dilution of all three major monotheistic religions to say, hey, all three religions, they all point to the same, the way is the same. And so what we need is a religion of the state or a religion of the globe where everyone can get along. So we are going to dilute dilute Christianity, dilute Judaism, and even to some extent dilute Islam. Make sure everyone says they all point to all roads go to heaven, and then pervert the doctrine of all three monotheistic religions. Take Jesus Christ out of the equation as the Savior, and of course, make this a PC user friendly religion. That's one thing to everybody. Isn't that kind of what we're seeing here?
Absolutely. I can't say it any better. There's no what else to add. It's exactly what's happening. The Pope is being the conduit. He is the one that's going around blessing every move. He blessed the White House, blessed the Congress. Everybody follows, go bless the United Nations, and then, go bless the Castro regime. Now, Obama just announced today he's going now he's going to Cuba next month to bless this communist regime. These guys are tyrants. The Castro brothers raped and murdered and stole and robbed and oppressed a nation of people for 60 years. Might have even had their hand in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, for all I know. But and all of a sudden, we're going to embrace them? The Pope's going to bless them? Obama's going to bless them? What about the Cuban people? I mean, where's the freedom in this? Where's their liberation? It's not going to happen. Communism. Now here's the thing. You know, when you say the Pope was involved in this, he is. I mean, the year before, he held a prayer meeting at the Vatican, and it was Catholic cardinals, Protestant, prominent Protestant ministers, Buddhist priests were there, Jewish rabbis were there, Islamic imams were there, sheikhs were there, Maoists were there, I mean, Hindus, gurus were there, I mean, everybody was there, and they all prayed to their God through their name, yet they said they were all touching the same God, which is absolutely ludicrous in Christianity. We know that's absolutely wrong. Matter of fact, it's ludicrous in Judaism, and it's even wrong if you're a true Muslim. It don't even make sense. So to your point, the only way you're going to stop what they think, bring world peace, is to have one world religion, because a lot of people believe religion is the reason for all wars. Well, it certainly is for most wars. And so, but here's something that happened to that point. Peyton Manning was told, and he's let that be known before the Super Bowl, that he was reminded that when he gives a press conference, whether he wins or loses, but certainly if he wins, make sure when you give credit, you don't say, "I want to thank Jesus Christ." You can say the Lord, or you can say the man upstairs, but don't use the name of Jesus, because we don't want to offend anyone. And matter of fact, the players' union, in their last bargaining agreement, signed in that, it was in the players' agreement, that the name of Jesus cannot be used. This is why Tim Tebow is no longer in the NFL, because he obviously refuses to follow that rule. So what's happening is, this one world religion has to exclude Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cannot be involved in this anti-Christ religion. Duh. I mean, are you serious? It does make sense that Jesus Christ wouldn't be a part of the Antichrist. So, Joe and Doug, let me just tell you something. In the 6 years that we've been following current world events and doing these daily programs, I can tell you, I've never seen anything so rapidly coming together as I'm witnessing this new world order and the one world government, the one world religion, the one world currency, and you're soon going to have an antichrist and a false prophet. It's coming together so quickly, it's actually amazing.
Indeed it is. And this is something to me, Pastor, that the rapid nature, as you just pointed out, the rapid nature of events, how quickly this has all really happened, especially, and Tom Horn, who's been a guest on our program, you know, who wrote numerous books, including Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus, he was right. I mean, this Pope appears to be playing a position of bringing in this deluded Christianity, as we see him giving the imprimatur, a Catholic term now, on contraception, on even somewhat on abortion. And I don't want to take it too far out of the context. But.
Well, Pastor, what do you have to say about this? The Pope stepped back his ban or his problem with contraceptives being used in the case of the Zika virus. He's saying, you know, it's okay, it's the lesser of two evils, using contraceptive if you have the Zika virus, because they say that this Zika virus is related to abnormalities in women who are carrying the virus, who are pregnant and have babies. They say it shrinks the brain and the head. Well, the Pope has come out and said, you know, in this case, it is okay to use contraceptive. And in a way, I took it as, you know, it's okay to conform to the world to keep yourself out of danger.
In this case.
Right. Right.
Well, yeah, this is just the beginning. It's a great question again. This is the beginning of the peeling away of the onion. Okay? He's peeling away all of the Catholic doctrines that they have held to over millenniums. And he's peeling away by giving exceptions and reasons. And to pick the Zika virus as his reason is one of the most weakest excuses ever. I mean, look, I'm not against contraceptives, but I mean, this was a huge thing in the Catholic Church. Let's face it, this is like, I mean, my Lord, this is huge. To shift from that is incredible. And to use the Zika virus, which we're not even sure it is linked to microcephaly. I mean, there's some saying it is, but then we've got doctors saying, for instance, of the 4,200 babies born in Brazil with microcephaly since October, only 17 of the mothers test positive for Zika. So, I mean, there was a GMO mosquito built by Bill Gates' company out of a company he was funding out of the UK called Oxitec that made a genetically modified mosquito. And that mosquito was supposed to go through and kill all the other mosquitoes that carried both dengue, yellow fever, and Zika. Well, instead, there was some type of mutation. The mosquitoes are spreading Zika like crazy. But what I didn't know was they also, the same time they released this mosquito, they poured a larvicide in the water, and the larvicide is tied more to the birth defects than the mosquito. But whether it is the mosquito or not doesn't matter. The fact, your question is the fact, what do you think about him changing his position, a position so staunched in that, the Catholic Church, and just flippantly just make changes? And he does this on a lot of things. He is there for one purpose, and that is to graft all religions into one. And to do that, he can't continue to hold traditions of the Catholic Church and tell everybody else to cave. He has to cave a little here and there as well. And that's partly how they do that. That's how they are pulling this together.
If I can ask you, Pastor, about the Jesuits, we know that this current priest current pope is a Jesuit. And, you know, when we say this, when we refer to Jesuits, people...
He's the first Jesuit pope in history.
Correct. That's what I meant to say. And if one looks at the Jesuits and this pope, no one really weaves deception better than the society of the Jesuits. Now, I know I'm going out on a limb here by saying this, but they are Rome's, really, the defenders of the Babylonian paganism that really is in direct opposition to true Christianity. At least that's my understanding. But the average Catholic, the average Christian, the average Catholic really does not know about this, and the Jesuits would really... they're hiding this, obviously, and the history, the rich history of the Jesuits in terms of what they, the influence that they have had over the Catholic Church, I mean, it's rather incredible. What do you say about the Jesuit influence that we're seeing right now? Is this something that we should really turn our attention to?
Well, to this very point here, I was just in Orlando, Florida last week. Or no, this week. Yeah, Monday night. It's this week, Monday night. I had a coffee. We just told anybody, say, hey, look, we're going to be at the Cheesecake Factory in Orlando, Florida on Monday night. You want to drop by and have coffee with us? We're going to be there for a couple hours. And we did have 13 people contact us and said they were coming. But actually 31 people showed up, so it was kind of wild. We finally got a table. It was a great time. But here's why I'm bringing this up. Of the 31 people that showed up for coffee, 10 were Catholics. I have a lot of Catholic followers. I have a lot of Catholics. All 10 of them told me they're born again, that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior, and they're born again. And they love our ministry. A couple of them even said they listen to the Hagman show all the time. You know, they say, I listen to just you, the Hagmans, and Anita Fuentes, and that's it, you know. And and you got people does. I got someone say, I just listen to you, Hagmans, and Rick Wiles, you know. So, but there were 10 Catholics out of 31, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I'm a Protestant minister, but I have a third of the followers, and it's about what it is. About a third of my overall followers are Catholic. And so, or have been Catholic and maybe have left the Catholic Church, or a lot of them are still in the Catholic Church, but love our broadcast. And I've baptized about a third of the people I baptized last year were Catholic. About 35, I think, Catholics I baptized out of 117 last year. So, well, and here's what's happening. They realize that they need more than just the rules and regulations and some of the standards. They need more than that. They're looking for a personal relationship with God. And so, and they also know there's more going on in the world, that there's things happening that have to have a spiritual answer to. I mean, it used to be Jack Van Impe would say, in 40, you know, someday you'll see these things happening. Well, today we say, let's tell you what's happening today. We don't even talk about what's coming down the road. We're telling you what's happening now because we're in this very prophetic time. And so the influence of the, I believe truly with Pope Francis, and the Jesuits, when I was writing the book, Mark of the Beast, RFID, I was writing the book, it's based on current world events and Bible prophecy, and I created, God just said, write a novel, okay, using knowledge you know, you know, sort of like what Dan Brown does, take the knowledge you know and put it together. So I took the knowledge of the current events, what the Bible says prophetically is coming, and wrote a story. I wrote in the story that Pope Benedict died and a new pope was chosen, one that would change things. When I wrote it, the Lord came to me and said, no, 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 change that. Write Pope Benedict resigns and a new man's chosen. Now, I knew historically there had not been a pope die in 600, there had not been a pope resign in 600 years. So to write that in a book is kind of like, are you crazy? I understood later after I published it that Tom Horn did the same thing. Yep. And in his book, and 6 months later, Benedict does resign, and Francis is chosen. And Francis is involved in the process of changing things. And so, I mean, I just think maybe that was part of the Jesuit, maybe that wing, let's say it this way, maybe that wing of the Catholic Church was preserved for that very reason someday. I don't know. I hate to think that far away. But I'll just say this. Of the 10 Catholics that came to the coffee, and it was a great coffee, one lady among the 10 told me that her, one of her cousins or nephews, and I cannot remember what she said, but I have this lady's name. She speaks fluently 7 languages, including Latin. And she [S2] Oh. [S1] And I said, oh, good. If I ever go to Rome to try to do it, I'm going to write a book on the Vatican or on the Rome, part of the Illuminati. You may have to be there when I'm there to get us around when Heidi and I are there. She says, certainly. She goes, I'll get you a lot of places you won't ever get into. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, my, and she told me it's either a nephew or a cousin is one of the chief chemists of the Vatican. And that all throughout there's 666 and different symbols are ingrained in different places throughout the Vatican, actually in the walls and in the floor and in different places. It's hidden in the paintings and the architect. So she said, and I can show you these. So I found that, it kind of floored me, you know. I was like, whoa, hold it a minute. Are you serious? But, and I'm not throwing anybody on the bus because, like I said, I love all the Catholic brothers and sisters in Christ that I have. I love all of them. But, I mean, that's some serious stuff here. We're dealing with, it's sort of like this. The Illuminati, Jesus chose 12 disciples. He said, one of you is a devil, okay? Even when America was founded with some founding fathers who had biblical principles that truly wanted to set up a nation based on the principles of Judeo-Christian fundamentals of the Bible. But the Illuminati had a seat at the table. Not everybody at the table was there for the right reason. And so that's why you see this influence in many governments of the world. When I was in Israel, guys, I'm standing up in the Crown Plaza Hotel. Heidi and I were looking out the balcony window, and she says, what is that pyramid sitting on top of that building? It's exactly green. It has an eye at the top. Like, it looks like exactly in the back of our dollar bill. What is that? And I said, are you serious? So we get down the street. We get a cab driver. I say, can you tell me what that building is right there? Because when you're on the street, you can't see it. All right? Can't see it from the street. I said, what is that building right there? He goes, that's the Israeli Supreme Court. All right? That's the Supreme Really? Court. So we go to the Supreme Court, guys, and you can see this on some of my YouTube videos. I actually went in there and we filmed it. We got on the whole thing. We went in there and took a tour, and they literally, at the Supreme Court of Israel, they literally are proud of this pyramid that sits on top there. They call it the Room of Enlightenment, and that their justices, before they make a decision, a ruling, would go in there and wait to be enlightened under the pyramid. You got to understand, The Illuminati has a seat. I don't think that doesn't mean that the whole nation of Israel's corrupt. That doesn't mean the whole nation of America and our nation wasn't built on corruption. But the Illuminati has had a seat at the table, just like Judas did in the days of Christ. So you see this influence. It's not only at the Vatican. It's not only in Washington. It's not only in Buckingham Palace. There's a little seat setting everywhere, and it's because Lucifer plans on his final run of a new world order. This is his final run to try to make God a liar and to defeat Christ.
Yeah, and Pastor, when you're talking about traveling to Rome and to the Vatican, and we go back to the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire was the empire that was in control of the world, really, at the time of Jesus and the crucifixion. And then Titus came and tore down the temple and Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And we know of Daniel's dream in the book of Daniel, where he talks about gives the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar of the kingdoms of the earth until the Messiah returns at Jesus' second coming, where he establishes his 1,000-year millennial reign. And the two legs of iron is the Roman system of control, the global government of Rome, and where it splits off into the two legs. You know, you have the eastern and the western half. You have the spiritual now and the governmental, earthly governmental side. And, you know, we see the revived Roman Empire today, because when you travel from whether it's the Vatican, Rome, to Washington, D.C., to different cities, important cities of the world, what do you see? You see the layout of the city, the symbolism, and the architecture of the old Roman buildings, the architecture and images of ancient Egypt, from the mystery religions to Rome to today. And it's, you know, no coincidence that we see the same types and styles and ways that we did back then, not only when Jesus was around, but back before then, when pertaining to Babylon and to the religion and the start of mystery Babylon, the religion. So as you said, it is the same people in control, and it's no coincidence either that the actual Bavarian Illuminati, started by Adam Weishaupt, was founded on the same day that America declared its independence in 1776, July 4th.
That's right.
Exactly. It's not a coincidence. And it's part of Lucifer's master plan. The Luciferians, global elitists, let's say, they wear many different costumes. Whether it's the sun god of Ray of the Egyptian pharaohs, or if it's, whether it be whatever, there's so many different paganistic worshiping, and all of it is still, and they're all, you know, it's like Eastern mysticism dressed up in Western clothing. It's the same Luciferian spirit, but it has its influences, as you say, in every major government of the world. I'm serious. Every major government of the world, it has its influence. And it's partly because it's got its foot in the door. You know, George Washington had a tremendous vision, three visions he had for America. But after he got out of office, and even though he knew that the Illuminati was there, I mean, he knew they were. He knew there was people who had that concept there.
Pastor, I got a quote from 1798 from George Washington. He says this: "It is not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobinism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am."
Exactly.
That's the quote from Washington.
That's exactly the quote. You're right. And it was his greatest fear. There's another quote I think he gives where it's his greatest fear is that the Illuminati. Do you have that quote?
No, that's the only one I have.
Okay, there's another one where he says, and it's probably in the same writings that you're quoting there, and that is, his greatest fear is that the Illuminati would overtake or take over this sovereign government. I don't know the exact words he used, but his greatest concern and fear was the Illuminati would eventually take over the United States government. Now, there's six presidents, starting with Washington till John F. Kennedy, that voiced the same thing. They voiced it, every one of them, after they got out of office, except Kennedy. He voiced it while he was in office, and then he gets assassinated. And all six of these different presidents say basically the same thing. Their greatest fear is that the Illuminati will take over the United States government. So, you know, you just right there quoted it. They know, I mean, but since John F. Kennedy, we've never had another president write that in their private letters or make that statement. And quite the contrary, every president we've had since then has basically endorsed the New World Order, especially, you know, after George H.W. Bush on 9/11 gave his famous speech of the New World Order that's been embraced. Matter of fact, Joe Biden has given 13 speeches since he's been vice president where he has embraced the New World Order, and that it's time for it to happen. And even at West Point, where he told them, they're going to be these young cadets, you are going to be the ones that implement it. So there's no doubt about it. We are watching the beast, the biblical beast. You know, you mentioned Daniel and the two legs. You're right. We're watching the biblical beast rise right in front of our eyes. And does that mean we should throw up our hands and quit and give up? No. We should fight the good fight of faith. We are watchmen set on the wall, and we must warn the people of what's coming upon the planet. We must prepare people for the three great woes that will come upon the earth. And at the same time, if they get Christ in their life, you don't live in fear. You live in faith. I know what's coming. I'm not scared of it. I'm not afraid of anything that creeps and crawls on the planet. We cannot be if you know who Christ is in your life. But Amen. We do have to warn the people. As you know, Doug and Joe, we have to warn the people what's coming.
You know, that's so important. People accuse us of being purveyors of fear, of fear porn. And it gets tiring to hear that. And we struggle with this, but only because we have to be introspective. And are we doing the right thing by exposing the darkness? And yes, I think, I believe, and as evidenced by the instructions of the New Testament, is to expose darkness and expose the machinations of the people. So the accusations of peddling fear or fear porn, to me, it's a fallacious argument. But having said that, you know, the answer exists not in, well, the answer exists solely in your belief and in knowing what the end result is going to be, knowing the fact that if you believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then you are, this world is fleeting, temporary, and we win in the end, regardless. So, you know, I do see a lot of fear out there, and that fear is misplaced. We don't lack fear of God, do we? We lack fear of, you know, many people don't lack, or many people lack the necessary fear of God.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you're right. The Bible says to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, so it means to respect God. It means to truly, really, really realize He is in control. And you fear that fact that He is in control. You're not afraid of God, but you respect Him greatly. And to fear Him, as if you're not saved, if you're living and walking in disobedience, you better get a realization that God is real, that God's judgments are real, but His mercy is real, is so real. His grace is so awesome. But they do accuse us, all of us, of, you know, spreading fear, and the Lord, and you'll hear them quote the scripture, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and sound mind. They don't rightly divide that. That's right. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but He absolutely expects us to warn people what's coming. And we're not spreading fear. We're spreading faith, because we're telling folks, here's the truth. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I mean, if people aren't warned, why do you need a watchman on the wall? Just bring the watchman down, tear the wall down, don't worry about it, let the enemy in. They do whatever they want to the citizens. So in other words, as a Christian or as a watchman, we see what's coming. We've got to warn the folks what's coming, and we've got to equip them. We've got to empower them to have the authority over the devil, over Satan, over the lies of the corrupt governments of the world, and to stand up for what's right and stand up with faith. You know, you have to have faith to stand up against an enemy. I mean, if you don't, you're going to hide in the foxhole. You've got to have some faith. And that faith has to know that what you're doing is right, and that the Lord is on your side, and you're not going to succumb to the wickedness, and you're not going to believe the lies that and propaganda that's being pushed down our throat from our, especially our lamestream media in America. It's gotten worse, guys. Am I right, guys? It's gotten worse the last couple of years. It's a joke. Are you serious? It's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it. I love your passion.
I was thinking about the Canadian Free Press. I can get news from the Canadians. I can get news from the Australians. I can get news BBC. You know, you got to watch them. But and I can get news from the Asians and from the even the Middle Eastern. You can get it from everywhere else. They'll tell you mostly the truth. America, you got to wait forever for the White House to regurgitate it and package it in some type of pre-propaganda package, and then they all sing the same little song. And it's just amazing to me. That's why there's shows like this one. Folks, keep listening to the Hagmans, okay? I mean, there's nowhere else to go when it relates to getting the news and what's going on. Stay with alternative media like that, because that's where you'll hear the truth, and they'll also give you a biblical perspective on it so that you can understand what's happening. That's why we do what we do, and because you get nothing but lies. I don't get everything right. I'll be honest. I miss it sometimes, okay? I miss it. But is it because I'm trying to sell you, a bill of goods? I'm not trying to convince you of something that will end up corrupting your soul at the end of the day. If I make a mistake, I'll admit I make mistakes. But one thing I know for sure, my intention is to help you overcome, to have victory, and strengthen this nation and the world for Jesus Christ, not to pervert it and destroy it like we see the lamestream media of today.
Amen, amen, Pastor.
With that, we got about 8 minutes left until our break. Do you want to touch on the Scalia issue?
Oh, I'd love to. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, you guys are going to be my guests on my show tomorrow. Folks, those of you listening, come to my show tomorrow. It starts at 12 noon Eastern. We're on for 2 hours. I'm going to bring the Hagmans on real early. Okay, real early, like within 20 minutes. I don't have plenty of time to talk to them. And the reason I'm going to say that is because, Doug, you've got a very in-depth information about the death of Scalia. And we want you to share that on our show tomorrow. And I think it's going to be awesome. Let me give you my 2 cents real quickly here, Joe. I mean, Scalia, it's the only county in Texas there's a judge that's liberal. That happens to be the county Scalia dies in. That judge immediately says no need for a autopsy or a toxicology. And within hours, they are taking Scalia's body to a funeral home for quickly to get embalming going. Now, I don't know what all happened. They say there was a pillow over his head. But this is the Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America. This is the one of 9 judges, especially a divided court. He's the most strongest conservative on the court. If he dies and Obama puts in a left-leaning liberal, the court shifts 5-4 the other direction, and we're in a world of trouble as it relates to the protection of the Constitution of the United States. Unbelievable. This is huge. And you could say, well, don't worry about it. No matter who Obama picks, it won't matter. The Republicans control the House and the Senate, and so they'll block it. I'm not so sure about that, because when Planned Parenthood was exposed of I don't know how many abominations on video after video after video, and we had a judge up here, we had a doctor up here in Michigan who was driving around with 14 fetuses in jars in the trunk of his car. I mean, are you serious? There's an abomination. They're selling body parts right in front of everybody. Nobody, our Congress did not shut off the funding to Planned Parenthood. They approved it. They've given another $541 million. They approved another $1.1 trillion in bloated pork barrel full agenda, passing Planned Parenthood. Everything got swept under the rug. So I'm telling you right now, I'm absolutely scared to death that the Republican-controlled Congress will sell us out again. And, so you can't trust anything there. This is partly why you feel the anger and the passion rising. I don't know if Judge Scalia was murdered or not, but I certainly think that there should have absolutely been an investigation just to make sure. I mean, it absolutely. But this is, they just sweep everything under the rug and just wash it over the American people and just force it down our throat, and we're just supposed to sit here and take it. And they thought for sure we would. They really thought for sure we would, because we have been for about 40 years. And I think the people have got to the point now where we're sick and tired of it. We're taxed to death. Obamacare's breaking our back. Our premiums have tripled. Our out-of-pocket amount of money you have to pay, you know,
yeah,
is outrageous. Everything, I mean, we can't afford it. The Unaffordable Care Act is it's unaffordable. It's insane. And taxation without representation is what we're feeling like. And it's going to get very, very interesting this year. It's going to get extremely interesting.
Indeed. And if I can just add something to the Scalia conversation, I find it just amazing, in the larger sense, 32% of the Americans polled in a Gallup poll had no clue who Scalia was. You know, all right, and that's an interesting statistic. But
they're not listeners to Paul Begley Prophecy or a Hagman show, I can say that.
Exactly. You know, and I'm not sure if they're just, you know, mind-numbed, gamers, but... But another interesting percentage is 72%. I believe it was 72%, or no, 32%, 79% of the respondents to a poll from a conservative website. The total number of respondents were 40,000. 79% believe that the death of Scalia was mysterious, and of course had an element, a nefarious element to it in some way, shape, or form. The latter figure to me speaks more about the perception of our government, of the United States government, and how people view the government, especially those of us with conservative ideologies. That's a sad, to me, statement of a state of affairs. When the majority, when you've got 80% roughly of the population who don't trust or don't believe a word that comes out of the government's mouth, how much further, I mean, how far have we gone down, and how much further do we have left until there's some sort of pushback in a very bad way? So,
right, and you can look at this Scalia death in the cover-up of facts, just like Osama bin Laden. You know, they basically came out and announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed and his body had been dumped at sea with a proper Muslim burial, and they came to announce this, you know, after the fact. Just like this with Scalia, the doctor didn't even come to the aid of Scalia. They broke the Texas law. If a doctor is not there witnessing the death, then there has to be an autopsy by law, and yet you get a judge or a U.S. marshal that makes a phone call. They get over-the-phone confirmation, and then they take Scalia right out of there. And then the mention of the pillow above the head, the guy who made the mention tried to walk it back and say, no, it wasn't on his head or on his face. It was above his head. And, you know, we made the point yesterday or the day before that if that were the actual case, it wouldn't never have been mentioned in the first place. The whole thing stinks, and it is just... a slap in the face to the American people. And if it was an unintentional natural death by natural causes, they certainly did screw it up and did everything they possibly could to make the quote unquote conspiracy theorist and conspiracy theories come out of the woodwork for a purpose. There's no way they would have screwed that up.
Doug and Joe, it's because we don't trust them anymore. This is how many times they're going to do this. Like you said, Osama bin Laden, Scalia. We could go back and back and back. There's been so many assassinations and strange deaths that go all the way back to Vince Foster leaning up against a tree in a park for the Clintons. I mean, we can go back. I mean, there's been so many things that's happened. And we don't trust them no more. We don't believe their lies anymore. We know they're lying to us. And I'll bring it up. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Hold that thought there, brother.
You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest tonight is Pastor Paul Begley. His website, paulbegleyprophecy.com. Go to his website. Check out his show, The Coming Apocalypse, on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back with our third and final hour with Pastor Paul right after this.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.